I'm really excited about the message today because God worked in our lives early on in terms of giving and tithing. And you know, we're in this series of the Journey of Faith. And I do apologize for our young students that I don't have many blanks today. I rewrote this numerous of times yesterday, so it's a lot. So, you know, even though it's a lot, we can handle it, right? Even though it's a lot, we can handle it, okay? So let's just review. It's been a few weeks. Let's just review on the backside. I've always got the things that we've been through. You know, first of all, it's so fun to look at people and say, hear the call of God on your life. God has a voice, and we are capable of hearing it. God has a voice, and we are capable of hearing it day to day, moment to moment. When Bethel sent a team out to L.A., and I don't mean Lower Alabama, I mean Los Angeles, and I shared this a little bit earlier, not everybody was here, and this one gal was on the street, and she saw this old man and went up to him and just shared the gospel with him. And he received Christ. And so she left. And moments later, she heard sirens. And she followed the sirens back to that street corner. And that man had died. Moments, not too many moments after she shared the gospel. Come on. Awesome testimony. Awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. Testimonies are powerful. And so we want to remember that. But anyway. So hear the call of God. We got to leave some things in our old life. You know, this is a forever deal. It's not once in a, not once. It's forever where we have to leave old things, thinkings, patterns, things that we do, things that we think about. Sometimes we've got to leave our old life behind us. And then we have to press beyond burnout. We always have to be on guard, not to become offended. Somebody say amen. And you know what? There's always going to be some opportunity somewhere to be offended. I can get offended watching the stinking news and listening to some of the stuff that's going on. I have to really guard my heart. And Jesus took money and paid it to the very government that killed him and murdered him. And I get a little upset about the government, so I have to watch my attitude every day. Rest beyond burnout. Don't have offenses. Staying out of strife. Avoid strife, and God will enlarge his promises to you. And rebuke that spirit of strife in family and communities and churches, etc. Build an altar. Where do you build altars? Anytime, anywhere. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. It's not a big deal. I just stop and say, Lord, I'm going to build an altar right here. Boom. Go. That's all it takes. Right? Right. Number six, understanding the covenant, that the three O's that they walked out in the blood of loyalty and protection and provision, how God cut that covenant with us through the blood of Christ. So today we're going to talk about tithe on everything and refuse a satanic compromise. Everybody shout, woohoo! All right, so let's go through this. Genesis chapter 14. Verses 9 through 22, and I'm not going to read a lot of these names, but there was this fight between four kings and five kings. Chedorlaomer was one of the four king federation that was going after the other kings, and in verse 9, now verse 10. Now in the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits. In the old King James, it says slime pits. Because we're going to see how the compromise of the king of Sodom came up out of the slime pits of Siddim and offered Abram a satanic compromise and didn't take it. Now the valley of Siddim, and this is still there, it's still called that, was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Okay, now we know that the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah were not good guys. For what they allowed to go on, we think Las Vegas is bad. I think this was the epitome of Yeah, epitome of pit. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Verse 11. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of their provisions and went their way. That'd be a lot of stuff. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, his nephew, who dwelt in Sodom, and all his goods, and they departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he had dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre of the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies of Abraham. Now when Abraham heard that his brother or his brother's son was taken captive, he armed 318 trained servants. Why? Why did he stop what he was doing and go after Lot's son, who wrongly should have never, Lot should have never stepped away from the blessing of walking under brother Abraham? And yet, and then, not only did he separate, but then he went to Las Vegas, to the pit. There's some good things going on in Vegas, so I don't want to keep putting that down, but he went to the pit, Sodom and Gomorrah. So not only did he separate, but he went to a bad place, right? So what's our normal reaction? Well, you get what you paid for. You made that choice. No, you know, Abraham was a good man, an honorable man. And he took 318 trained servants. That would be like the Delta Force. That would be like the Green Berets. It'd be like the Navy SEALs and all those other special forces, special op forces, right? They were born under Abram's house, and then they went to pursue as far as the area of Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. A history lesson, a geography lesson. So he brought back all the goods. Woohoo! Abram got the spoil. And he brought back his brother's Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. So he got the stuff and he got the people. Right? And the king of Sodom came up out of the slime pits of Siddim in the valley of Shaavah, the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. And Melchizedek. So this verse just all of a sudden is thrown in here, right? We have never heard this name before. We hear it in Hebrews chapter 7, and it might not be pronounced the way other people pronounce it, but all of a sudden Melchizedek showed up on the scene. King of Salem brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abraham, Abram of God Most High." Now, remember, I went through a series and taught on the different Hebrew names. This is actually a Hebrew name called El Elyon, God Most High. And got my notes on it. But anyway, I'll remember. Possessor of heaven and earth, verse 20. "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave Melchizedek a tithe of all the spoil. Stop for a minute and think of how much that was. The spoil from all the kings. And he gave him a tenth of all. This is before the law. Verse 21. "And now the king of Sodom said to Abram," here's the satanic compromise. The other one was tithe on everything, number 7. This is number 8. "Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people. You keep the stuff." Right? So it's there. Verse 22. But this satanic compromise that the king of Sodom was offering, he said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth." Verse 23. Is there a 23? Yeah, there is, but not in that listing. So he did not go with the satanic compromise there. All right, so let's walk through this a little bit. Hallelujah. On your notes side there, this Kidron Valley, the valley of of Shavah was a very strategic place and is a very strategic place in Israel. Because when you're in the Kidron Valley, this Valley of the Kings, on one side you've got the Mount of Olives. Now we know what the Mount of Olives is. Many things happen there. That's where Jesus taught the people, multitudes of people. It was where the Garden of Gethsemane was, where he sweat blood the night before he was crucified. It was the place where he ascended into heaven. And it's going to be the place where he comes back again. Hallelujah. This is a very strategic place. Sometimes you find yourself and you're in a very strategic place. I've seen that. I've had that. I've had that happen. And you just walk in and or wherever you're at, and there you go, there's something special about this. There's something special about this place. We used to have a place that we went to, and we'd walk in and we would just stand and realize the 2-foot square piece of real estate that we're standing on, that the presence of God was there. We feel it here. For the presence of God comes. And he meets with us. And it's precious. It is precious. Because his house is precious. And we are precious to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then on the other side of the Kidron Valley, you have the city of Zion, the New Jerusalem. And then you had the slime pits on the southern edge. And the kings and the Lot and all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah were down there. And Abraham set out to rescue this nephew Lot and the people from the battle. But it was really interesting because these two kings that approached Abram, Sodom king and Melchizedek. Larry, would you put up verse 18, chapter 14? Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Isn't that sweet? We were able to share communion today. I just thought, that was so awesome. You know, this is 400 years before the law came out. Now, notice it says Melchizedek, king. And then it says he was a priest. God did not want any kings to be priests and priests to be king in the Old Testament. You were either or. But what does he tell us we are in the New Testament? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, isn't that awesome? To the Most High God. He gives us that privilege. Yeah. Really awesome. You know, and so this collision of Sodom coming up and offering Abraham this satanic compromise. And then Melchizedek shows up. And then Abram takes a tenth of all he owned and gave it to the priest. It's awesome. Imagine that. Ron, take 10% of your entire farm. That's what he did. He took a tithe of the entire farm. Yeah, tithe on everything. Some things. When we first learned this, the testimony or you know the teaching on tithing. I was in school. We had a baby by the name of Hannah. Mary wasn't working. I was vacuuming apartments. I was doing anything to make a quarter. I used to carry audio. Okay, I'm really old. I used to carry audio-visual equipment, you know, the circular deals, from room to room in my school, and I would make a dollar an hour. Well, if it took me 10 minutes to take it, I only made a sixth of a dollar. So I'd have to write down 35 cents that I made. Now, come on. And then to make another little bit of money, you guys, some of you heard this testimony before, at the apartment complex, not only vacuuming, but I also got to clean the laundry rooms. They're fun to clean. Really fun. But you know what's really cool? That was back in the day when they were operated by coins. And guess what people do with coins? They drop them. So I'm cleaning these apartment complexes with these utility rooms, and I'm moving washers and dryers around, and guess what I'm finding? I'm finding gold. This was probably back when gas was 40 cents a gallon. I don't know what it was, but I'd find these quarters. And to this day, I will tell you, I took every one of those quarters up to the apartment, and I had a notebook, and I wrote every one of those quarters down, and we tithed on every cotton-picking quarter I ever found. And on every 40-cent paycheck I ever found, we tithe on those things from day one. So it's not difficult. Once you start tithing on little things, it's not difficult tithing on large things. Right? So be careful. Tithe on everything, every little thing. We would look for excuses to tithe on stuff. It was really great, you know. So that should be our first step. Oh, yeah, give back to the Lord. So tithe on everything. That's step number seven. And then step number eight, refusing satanic compromise. I love that when the king of Sodom came up to Abram and said, you know what? I got a deal for you. Let's make a deal. Behind door number one, door number two, and door number three. Well, behind door number one are the people. And behind door number two are the goods. And why don't you take the goods and I'll take the people? And he said, I never want it to be said that you have made Abram rich. And the only thing that's going to make me rich is Almighty God. Amen? And so there was not a compromise there. Satan, the devil, the evil world will always offer us a satanic compromise. So we have to be aware of it. We have to step away from it and just say no. Say no. Sometimes I have to talk to myself out loud to make sure that we go the right direction, right? So that's okay. Now, I don't have a lot more other than I'm just blown away. Matter of fact, let's do this. Larry, would you go to Hebrews chapter 7? Verses 1 through 3, please. I don't do that to you very often. But I think it's important for us to see it with our own eyes and understand that this is in the New Testament. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, Shalom, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. God is a God of blessing, and He wants to bless us every day. We may have trials and tribulations. We may have things, that suck in our life. But you know what? God wants to bless us. God wants to give to us. He is for us. He's not against us, and He will always be for us. He loves us. He's sold out to us. Hallelujah. And He blessed him. Verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace, Shalom. Verse 3, and without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. You can read all the biblical information about what people say about who Melchizedek is. I just take it where it's at. He showed up on the scene. And he taught Abram the tithe. There you go. So, Father, seal the word. Seal revelation in our heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can stand if you like. Father, this journey that we're on in life, that we call life, Lord, I pray we continue to live it out in faith. I pray against the spirit of discouragement. If anybody's had discouragement on you, then I rebuke that. That's a demon spirit. Rebuke a spirit of discouragement, and we release the spirit of courage, Lord, in our lives that we can go on. Father, I pray for spirit of faith to attach to the things that we tithe to and give offerings to, Lord. I pray, God, that we would be aware of things that we need to do, Father, to give into the kingdom and to help missionaries share. And we give you praise for that. and we love you, Lord.